Praise God. Before we begin, some people had an anniversary this week. As he's walking out and as she's walking out, the Robinsons had their anniversary Tuesday. And praise God for another year of blessing. Amen. Did everybody get Brother Richard's email today? We all have an assignment, so. Amen. So, in case you don't remember or you missed the email, it was a request to put together something written, some type of memorial or a memory or a funny story, anything that captures what Pastor Jim did in your life. So, as Sister Lou said, we want a chronicle. We want a living, you know, chronicle that she and all of us can go back to and refer to him. And I think Brother Demetrius is putting stuff on the web to kind of put that together to assist us. So, but be thinking about how you can be a blessing in that regard. And you know, Pastor Jim was a hoot. He had some funny stories. He was a character. He'd make you laugh sometimes. And so, but just be a blessing in that regard. Praise God. Tonight, I'm not going to keep you very long, but I want to talk about the power of kingdom partnership. The power of kingdom partnership. You know, I remember something that Pastor Jim used to say all the time, and it's something that impacted me greatly, and I used to always share it with individuals, especially working with musicians. Musicians can be people that kind of bless their hearts. Sometimes you want to kick them in the behind in Jesus' name, if you get what I'm saying. It's like, wake up, son. Who are you doing this for? But Pastor Jim used to say this one thing that used to stick with me. I always used to tell cats, and I still tell them to this day, you're either building the kingdom or you're building your kingdom. Yeah. And that's in every aspect. And you can tell simply by a person's attitude and the way they treat other people whose kingdom they're building. It's very self-apparent. It shows what's in you. See, but it's very true. It's either you're invested in building God's kingdom and God's way of doing things, or you're pushing your own agenda. We have to understand that God, above all things, his desire is to partner with us in seeing his will, plan, and purpose accomplished in our lives. So he's the number one individual that wants to partner with us. And, you know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the very familiar passage of scripture, it says, for it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to work according to not our good pleasure, but his good pleasure. And so that's the reality, is that God, his desire is for us to be totally submitted to his plan and purpose. And in doing that, he can partner with us to see his will accomplished in our lives. Amen. It's getting out of the way and allowing him to be, as my brother said, he wants to be not just Savior, but Lord of our lives. Jesus, the anointed Redeemer, he even told us that he would not ever leave us in a place where we would be alone or have to function on our own. John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, and this is from the Amplified, he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And then it goes in parentheses, can we deal with the ringing? This is bugging me to no end. But I know y'all got it. I trust y'all. But in the parentheses, in addition to him, the Holy Spirit being a helper, he says he will be a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and a standby. Tell me God don't want to partner with us. Right. You know, Jesus said, I'm not leaving you in a situation where you're by yourself. I'm giving you all of these attributes that the helper, the Holy Spirit, he's going to be all those things. Comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. We're not in a position where we're ever by ourselves. And he says he will be with us forever. So he's always got our back, no matter what. That's that aspect of God wanting to partner with us. But you know what? If God in the vertical sense, cares about partnership, guess what? You can certainly know that he cares about it on the horizontal level. Now, the first aspect that we all know in the Word of God that we see this represented in is in the garden. God creates man, and what's the first thing he says? It's not good that he should be alone. See, this aspect when we as the body of Christ start trying to be an island to ourselves is when we set ourselves up for trouble, because even God himself said it's not good that man should be alone. And he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make him a helper that's suitable for him. I'm going to give him exactly what he needs. And so even in the marriage relationship, now we know this as husbands, and you know this as husbands and wives, you know this as women. There are strengths that each one of us bring to relationship, but we also have weaknesses. And as my strengths help my wife's weaknesses, it works vice versa. It's a give and take exchange, but it's all part of us being one. Now, we understand that on that level. And what did the Lord do in the Word of God through the Apostle Paul? He compared that relationship of marriage to the same relationship of Christ to the body. And he says here, John, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 23. This is his desire, his prayer for the church to walk in that same oneness that he has with the Father. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. So that same relationship of having a husband and a wife where they are one, that same relationship is indicative of the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ to his body. So once again, we mentioned about the vertical love, the vertical partnership that we have with the Father. Now we're talking about the horizontal importance of us having that across the body of Christ. But the sad reality, church family, and this is what just irks me to no end. The sad reality is that the body of Christ universally does not cooperate with the Lord's plan of biblical unity. We are one of the most segmented institutions on the face of the earth. And I don't understand for the life of me why. We have outposts that are closed. It's almost like an embassy to another country. You can't get in. People in the same city, down the street. I remember growing up, I promise you this, in the church that I went to, there were four churches on the same street. And we're talking about three block walk. You're at another church. I think growing up, we probably fellowshipped with the one church on the end of the street in the days that I remember probably four times. The other churches, I didn't even know what they were. I knew one was a Methodist, and I was like, Mama, what is Methodist? And the other one, I forgot what they were. But four churches right there, and didn't know none of the people. I saw them coming out the same time we were coming out. Didn't know them from Adam. But with this segmented mindset that we have in the body of Christ, and we try to figure out why things don't get accomplished. We set up these walls and we don't want to penetrate them. And that's not the plan of God as far as what he ordained for kingdom partnership. Right. Brother Copeland has a message, a very good, and I would encourage you can find it on his website, but he has a very good teaching on the importance of partnership. And he shows that there is a divine connection that is attached to kingdom partnerships. What happens is when I take what I have and I invest it in someone else, there is an exchanging of the anointings on our lives. There's something that, once again, kind of back to what I was talking about earlier with the marriage relationship, that give and take exchange. The same thing happens when I connect. Now, and I'm talking about just on this level in the body. When I connect with people in this body, the gifting that's in Brother James, when I give of him what I have and he exchanges what he has in me, there's a synergy that's created, and we can do things better together than we could apart. Because the anointing is increased in that partnership. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but imagine if that same mindset goes beyond the four walls of the church. And the church, and you know, Paul himself, when he would address the churches, it was always the church of this city, the church of this city. Each one of them had something that made them unique. But when they got together, they could do more for the kingdom than apart. You see what I'm saying? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We know this passage of scripture very familiar. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together. And even in Paul's day, he says, as is the habit of some. Some were willing to segment themselves and not taking advantage of the assembling. But he says, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church, the day is drawing near. That great day when the Lord Jesus Christ, it's nearer than it's ever been. But the sad reality is, why would his body segment itself when we know that that's not the plan that he has for us? So we should be looking for those kingdom connections that God brings our way. We should be desiring them. Lord, and that's one thing I know, Pastor Jim, his heart's desire was to reach and pour in this city into the lives of other ministries. And he did that very early on in ministry. He shared those stories with us, how he started a whole organization to basically be a place where pastors could come together and receive covering. That was something that was always in his heart. Sad thing about it is you can't make a horse go to the water. Some people are just determined to, once again, you either build in the kingdom or you build in your kingdom. It's just the sad reality of it. But the one thing I know, he did not give up in that hope of building. Likewise, we should have that same heart, looking for those kingdom connections that God builds beyond here, definitely here. Because sad to say, church family, we got people who are segmented that are right, that are part of this church body. How y'all watching on live stream? It's our job. It's our job to be that anchor, to pull them in and say, hey, we love you. You're missed. You know, and that's one thing we're good about doing. We reach out. We let people know you're missed. We let people know. You know, it used to blow my mind. I just kind of go a little segue here, but it used to blow my mind when people would come to the church and they would, this was a statement they would say, and I didn't understand what pastor's reaction to this statement was, but they would say something, and Gail and probably other people that have been here years, y'all have heard this statement. Oh man, this is the church we've been looking for. This we've been praying for a church like this. And you never saw that person ever again. And it used to blow my mind. And when they would say that, pastor was like, he would just shake his head, and I didn't understand it. The thing is, the reason why that person found themselves in that situation is because they were convinced that they were looking for a perfect church. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Because we are not perfect people. But we strive for perfection. And so we bring all of our imperfections in here and encourage one another in the faith, and we grow line upon line, precept upon precept. But the minute we start looking for perfection is when we're going to fall short. And so I understand. I bring my little tin cup of myself, and you bring your little dented bowl, but together, the potter has us on the wheel. And he's making us better. He's making us grow to the place and be the people that he wants us to be. But it comes from that heart of saying, I am dependent. I am interdependent on my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not independent of you. We are dependent on one another. And so that partnership, it starts at home. It starts at home in the local assembly that God calls us to be a part of. Something that Brother Roger Pilmer said that I never really kind of understood, but as I grew in the Lord, I began to understand it. He said this one thing. He said that church membership is not optional. You don't choose where you go to church. The Holy Spirit places you in a place where you're going to, number one, grow, and second of all, it's in a place that you have something that that body needs. So it's to be segmented, to decide to pull away and do whatever, you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting that individual body. Because my arm can't say, I'm going to do my own thing and just separate from my no, that's not the way it was intended. It was intended to be part of the whole. So, like I said, that concept of partnership, it starts at home in the local assembly that we're called to be a part of, but it doesn't end there. I firmly believe that God, as I said, in these days and hours that are ahead of us, He is going to connect us to people in our city, our region, our state, and our nation, and ultimately our world, to partner with for Kingdom of God expansion. No man and no church should ever be an island to themselves. Once again, God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Now, that wasn't just from, yes, it was at that time he was talking about the husband and wife situation because they were the only ones on the earth. But now, not just in the physical aspect, but in the spiritual aspect, it's not good for us to be alone. As Paul said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because in that place of unity, the anointing is synergized. And we can see God do more than we ever could. I want us to look at, it's a very familiar story, but it's when the very first disciples were called. It's in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And we're gonna look at a few verses. It talks about when the Lord Jesus called the first disciples to himself. Luke chapter 5, we'll start at verse 1. It says, now it happened while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. First prerequisite to kingdom partnership is, number one, make sure Jesus is invited in the boat. Make sure he's in the boat. Otherwise, what we're doing is simply washing our nets, spinning our wheels, basically doing a lot and getting nothing accomplished. Jesus got to be in the boat. Otherwise, we just having church. We're not being church. So verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we have worked all night and caught nothing. I've been at work all day long. You're telling me I got to go to church. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. The next prerequisite, obey the master. Obey the master regardless of how it might feel or affect us. Just do what he said. Because verse 6 will happen. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. When you obey the master, first you've let him in your boat. You've obeyed him. Harvest will follow. Harvest will follow. That's an assured fact. Truth is the truth. You can't get away from obedience followed by harvest. So they get this. So they signaled, verse 7, they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they both began to sink. The blessing of the harvest is so plentiful that even after calling their partners over to assist, both of the boats started to sink. So what should they have done? They should have had more boats and more partners. So they would have been ready for the harvest. The folly of thinking that one church can reach an entire city. If everybody in Austin decided to wake up and come to House of the Lord, we'd be in a lot of trouble. We'd be in a lot of trouble. We'd have to immediately get some partners because our boat is not big enough and would begin to sink. So the bottom line is that, now look at what Simon says, verse 8, I'll continue. He says, "But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he said, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken." Verse 10, it says, "And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." Ultimately, this is the thing. Our God is the Lord of the harvest. And when we get out of the way and trust him, we will purpose to not only be a blessing to the kingdom of God, but he will bless us in exchange. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'm sure Brother Richard is okay with this. I got a phone call yesterday, and they were saying that they were having difficulty finding a place to have Pastor's memorial. And they were like, "Can you help?" And immediately I got off the phone, and I got ticked off. I'm like, how is a man who's been in this city for 40 years, no one is willing to open up their churches that he helped? How are you saying no? I mean, I know people have schedules, but we're not talking about coming to your church and taking it over the whole day. We're just talking about a few hours. You can't take a few hours to give honor to whom honor is due. And it bugged me. It literally ticked me off. I had to pray, "God, help me." Because I really want to get on the phone and call some people and say, "Really? Is this what we're about? This is what we do." It just blew my mind. So anyway, by the grace of God, I said, "I'm going to get on the phone and somebody's going to help." I was like, "Somebody's going to help me." So I called one of my friends and I said, "Man," I said, "how?" Because I know they had moved locations. I said, "How many people does your church seat?" He said, "About 250. I was like, "That's not going to be enough." So I had remembered that earlier, like last week, like the very next day after Pastor had passed, one of my brothers had reached out to me on Facebook and said, "Man, I send my sincere condolences. And, you know, if your church needs anything, don't hesitate to call on me." And he prefaced it, and this is really what's sad, because this is what's in a lot of church leaders' mindset. He goes, "I'm not trying to steal members. Just want to let you know that's my heart. I'm just reaching out." I'm like, he's got to preface that, you know, because there's people out there that look at, "Oh, they pastor gone." Yeah. Maybe I'm like, "Well, you wasting your time with this congregation, because pastor already told us the difference between, as my brothers were saying on Sunday, the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. So you can forget that stuff. That's not going to work with this body." So anyway, the Lord laid on myself. He said, call Bishop Hooper. Call him. So I got on and I started texting him. And I said, "Brother," I said, "can you assist us in finding a facility? We were having a difficult time finding a place." He was like, what do you need?" He was like, how many? He's like, "How many seats?" And I told him exactly. And so he said, "Does it have to be a church?" I said, "No." I said, "Just a facility." I said, "We prefer a church." I said, "But a facility that can hold at least 500 people." He said, "I'm on it. I'll be just stand by. I'll be back in touch with you." Within 30 minutes, he said, I think I got a place. And so I was communicating with Brother Richard, getting the details from Brother Richard, and communicating. Done, just like that. Somebody was willing to get their boat and connect it with our boat. And get this, Pastor Hooper has never met Pastor Jim. doesn't know him from Adam, just knows me, we have a relationship. That church, that church is down the street from me. I've never darkened their door. I've never been in that church. But look at what happens when people decide to put their agenda aside and be a blessing. That's the way kingdom should be exemplified everywhere. My brother Brian said it on Sunday. When one of us is hurt, we all hurt. When one of us is rejoicing, we all rejoice. So by the grace of God, a kingdom connection has been established. And I say, you know, one thing that really blessed me earlier, probably in the, when was he here? 2000s? Pastor Ellery. Pastor Ellery used to take some of us with him to churches that he had relationship with. You know what I'm talking about. And there was one church, there was one church that was a Baptist church, and the pastor got spirit-filled. And he wanted to impart that knowledge and that understanding of being filled with the Spirit to his congregation. So Brother Ellery was like, I'm going to take y'all with me to this church in Taylor. It was Copeland, right outside of Elgin. And so he said, I'm going to take you guys to see, you know, these brothers. He said, they need guidance. And so, once again, the knowledge and the wisdom that God, through Pastor Jim, gave us, we were able to impart to this church. They had revival. They had, like, for a year and a half, they were having service, like, literally every night for a year and a half. And when we first showed up, the pastor was a hoot, man. He said, he told his other ministers, they were sitting there, and we got out of the car, and he was really boisterous brother, man. He was, I love that brother. But he told his ministers, he said, now, brothers, I want y'all to don't say nothing. This is how he was talking. He said, don't say nothing, don't do nothing, because these brothers right here are experts in the Holy Spirit. And I looked at Pastor Ellery. I was like, what in the world have you brought us to? We ain't no experts in the Holy Spirit. But by the grace of God, we were able to share some things with them, impart some things with them. But once again, that was a kingdom connection of the knowledge that had been planted in us. We were able to be a blessing to others. The knowledge and the wisdom that God has implanted in us, church family, get ready, because it isn't in you dormant for no reason. It's in us to influence Austin, to influence Central Texas, to influence the state. But the thing is that we got to be willing to get our boats and connect our boats with other boats who are willing. Because sad to say, some folks will try to be greedy, and the catch could literally drown their boat. Because the thing is that God doesn't want anyone to get all the glory to themselves. He wants us all to be blessed in the process of seeing the harvest. And we can all say, wasn't it good to have seen the anointing of God flow through us? And we've seen that when other people have come from ministry anniversary celebration, other churches that were represented, and they saw how our hostesses serve. They saw how our praise team conducts our ministry of music. When they've seen you all loving them and sharing the love of God, that's something that they took back, and it affected their body. God is going to begin to do more of that. But we have to be cognizant of it. We have to be willing. We have to desire it. Because when we do that, when we're walking in that unction to function as the body, to hook up with what we, because guess what? And this is the reality of it. Every church has not been taught the way we are. And you know what? That's perfectly fine. If they call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they're about seeing people come into the kingdom, they're family. We have an element that they need, but guess what? They may have a way of doing stuff that could help us. I dare not touch my checkbook. I dare not touch my, because I might mess up. But my wife is skilled in numbers. So I give her the money, and I'm like, you do whatever needs to be done, and I'll roll with my little stuff I got over here. But you, hey, you handle it. And sister girl gets it done. But I'll jack it all up, Brother James. I ain't gonna lie. I'm just be honest with you. So I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. And so it's the same way in the body. When we're aware of what we can do, we can be a blessing to someone else who's weak in those areas. But the same way, they can be a blessing to us. Because like I said, everybody ain't got it together. There's no perfect church. But there is a perfect God who builds the kingdom. And so I would encourage us, you know, be open. It's not going to be every single person. But be open. When God opens up those doors of kingdom connection, bringing people in your life to establish those partnerships that you know are for his will, plan, and purpose, be open to them and be willing to build on them. There's going to be people that God will continue bringing in this body. We know that. We know that. And that's something that we should continue to decree and declare, that, you know, we know the plan of God that he has for this body. We know it. But guess what? That plan is going to allow us to be influenced to others, to other church bodies, for the purpose of seeing God's kingdom established in the earth. So let's continue once again. I can't get away from the fact that it's the Father's heart. Because what the scripture said, I'm going to go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said in John, go back to where I was earlier. I want to end with this passage. John 17:23. He said, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected. And how? We're perfected in our unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, you loved me even, and you love them even as you loved me. That's the heart of the Father, is for us to allow that unity to be perfected in the body. And by doing so, we demonstrate the love of God that will draw people to his goodness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Richard, I'm done. Thank you, sir.
That's what I was going to say. But that's exactly where we're at. And you know what? Just because pastor's gone doesn't mean that Austin has stopped being the revival center of the nation. And it doesn't mean that House of the Lord has stopped being the center, the epicenter of that revival. And I'll be sharing some stuff in the next couple of weeks with the body. But we're taking one thing at a time. We're going to get past our celebration. Well, we'll never get past the celebration, but our memorial, the time when we have set apart, that's a lot of work. You know that? It's a lot of work. Twice now I've told somebody, where is Pastor Jim's body? I'm going to go try one more time. Get him up out of there, because this is... But anyway... And I know Pastor laughs at that if he hears that. But I don't have plans, and I know these ministers, we don't have plans to remain like we are. There's no reason to remain like we are. And to do that, we're going to need not only your help, but all those people that show up on Sunday that don't show up on Wednesday, we're going to need their help too. And we're going to need outside help. But we're going to get it done. I was looking at some pictures today of some of the ministry that Pastor Jim has done. And these pictures in the hallway right here, he was standing in front of the Capitol talking. And there was a group of people all around, marching down the Congress, with I think it was one of the Jesus rallies or whatever, March for Jesus, that's what it was. There's things that we can do, but we've got to start here getting ourselves back together, because that's the only way we're gonna survive. And I'm committed to do that, to get together, whether we bring back Connect or start something else. We'll probably do a bunch of things, but I appreciate that word, brother. That's exactly right. Exactly right. We've got to hang together, and I want you to, like I said in my email or the last couple of emails, stay close, stay connected, and be family, because that's what we are. That's what Pastor Jim wanted. That's what God wants, according to His word. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. Thank you, Brother Damon. Good word. The bucket's right here. Good word deserves a good blessing. So we're going to bless Brother Damon tonight. Stand with us and let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your spirit, for your word that we've heard tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that it is life. And it is strength to us, Father. It is your life that you have poured into your word that brings life to us as we pull it into our hearts. Father God, I thank you that that word is planted in our hearts and it takes root and it grows and it begins to produce much fruit, Father God, that we are connecting with one another and we are connecting with those even outside our body. We are not in a competition, Father God, but we are in unity together to see your kingdom expanded and your kingdom established in this city and light brought to this city and darkness dispelled. Thank you, Father God. We bless your name. We bless your name. We do it by lifting you up, by exalting you in our midst, Father. And we celebrate and rejoice in all that you are leading us into and you have called us to. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Now, Father God, we continue to lift up Sister Lou. We just speak blessings to her. We speak peace and comfort to her heart, Father God. And I thank you for your anointing that infuses her with divine ability that she can be and she can do those things that you have called her to do and that she is not off the hook. But Father God, she is your daughter, she is your child, and she will accomplish what you have placed in her heart. And I thank you, Father God, that others are surrounding her and strengthening her and building her up and keeping her safe. And Father God, we celebrate and rejoice that she is lifted up. She is lifted up and protected. And Father God, I thank you for that. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Now, Father, I just speak blessings on your people. I say that no weapon formed against them prospers, but every tongue that would rise against them in judgment or condemnation or even a bad opinion, I curse it and cast it down, say it is unfruitful in their lives and it does not affect them, but they walk in peace because your favor and your love goes before them and surrounds on all sides. Thank you, Father God, that every household and every family is fully supplied, that there is no lack, there's no need, there's no want, and there is no sickness or feebleness in each household, each member, each body, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that your goodness is manifested in them, and wherever they go and whatever they do, they are the sweet-smelling aroma of your presence in every place. I bless your people, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness and their commitment to you. And I call all the people of House of the Lord blessed. Amen. Go with God.